You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.
On The Dan Nichols Show this week, even more indulgence than usual and a healthy dose of nostalgia. One of the joys of moving away from television to the podcast format is the conversation I have with a single guest where we can dive a little deeper than perhaps we did on TV and have a great deal of fun over a slightly longer period of time, which gives me a great deal of joy. Not always the guest who's stuck there, but they've agreed to be on the show, so there's not much they can do about it. And in this case, I think the guest will be okay because he's put up with me for over two decades. He's one of those people who, without quite realizing at first, has had a profound impact on who I am and what I do. Because if we go back well over 20 years, I courted him at an event, persuaded him to let me MC something for him, and now in 2025 we get to work together at events all over the world, and I get to watch him running the most successful sport we have in South Africa. That sport would be golf, which makes him, as commissioner of said sport, Mr. Thomas Abt. Welcome, Thomas.
Sure, thanks, Dan. What a wonderful introduction. And just to put that back into real terms, I gave you a platform. You did it all yourself. I had nothing to do with it. You are the champion. You are the legend. And well done to you.
Do you remember that it was a Vodacom Stormers launch? At that stage, young Thomas, who looked like he'd just escaped from the cover of GQ Austria, was running this event. I'd been invited along as a young journalist, and you were revealing this new sponsorship under the guise of an art exhibition.
100%. I remember that studio so clearly. I remember those stairs going up and down the stairs, and you caught me sort of on the platform in between the stairs going up to another floor. And you were like, let me do this, let me do that. And I was like, oh, dude, who are you? Leave me alone. I've got to do this thing. It's my first big thing I've got to do at Vodacom. Just let me be. And I kind of was in my back going, just say yes and figure it out later. And as you say, 20 years later, look at us now. But as I said, you've done it all yourself. You've positioned yourself in the right light of so many people. So I did nothing.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on that, because I think you were a combination of let me take a chance on someone, and also I have a very limited budget, so this might help me to work it all out.
One thing you did do very well over that particular evening and a few other Thursday, Friday nights in Cape Town was giving me a whiskey with ginger ale, which converted me into a whiskey drinker nowadays. That was one of your better things you gave back to me.
More successful than I have been in converting you to a wine drinker, which is one of my great failures in life. But everything else has gone rather well. And we've had a lot of fun along the way. We've done lots of great events and had a lot of fun with golf. And I'd like to think that that sums up a lot of what you've been able to do. But if I look at the Thomas Abt career, where, gee, you get to play around with golf the whole time and go and watch the Masters and hang out at cool events, it seems like it's a really cool, fun journey the whole way. I know it's actually a great deal of hard work, and sometimes it isn't all that easy. But it is a world which has given you this remarkable experience and this remarkable adventure. Go back to the very start. And how did Thomas Abt, today Commissioner of the Sunshine Tour and most important person in South African golf, with apologies to Johan, find your way into the path that you're on now?
Dan, it's actually quite a series of good fortune fell in my way. I came back from the UK, the US, playing around, working in various industries, being a ski operator, ski resort operator, being a ski instructor, working guest services, selling sponsorships in the UK for tennis matches. Came back to South Africa, and a friend of ours said, let's go to Sun City for a couple of days and play golf. Let's just chill, put our feet up. We befriended the head pro there. Darren Osborne, what his name was the head pro. And we had a great time with him. It was so much fun. We went out to Trader Horns that evening. We drank far too much. The next morning, played golf again. And he said to me, what are you doing with your life? I said, well, I'm not really sure. I've got nothing to go to. And I said, hey, well, if something happens at Sun City, please just let me know. Lo and behold, 3 months later, he phoned me and said, hey, there's an opportunity over here. Would you be interested? I said, yes, please. What is it? He says, assistant golf pro at Lost City Golf Course. I said, sounds wonderful. I don't know what that means. Sounds fantastic. Lost City Golf Course, here I come. He says, well, you got to go and meet the boss man over there. His name was Stephen Shearer. Met with Stephen. He said, well, the interview went pretty well because Stephen said, well, come, let's go play golf. And so I played particularly well that day. So Stephen thought, okay, well, let's take a gamble on this youngster. My first boss was Ken Payett. who was the head golf pro at Lost City Golf Club, and Ken's now the tournament director of the Nedbank Golf Challenge. And from there, the ball just went into the hole every single time. A series of things fell in my way, part of the Nedbank Golf Challenge. Then I got to meet Michelle van Aden, who also helped me very much along my journey. Then I met Salwa Nathan. And from there, it just went from smaller events to bigger events to bigger events. And I was so lucky that I could obviously deliver on some level and get to sit here where I am now. So if I go back and look upon what I've done and say from my career perspective, from university, saying where would you want to be in your life? I mean, this is the ultimate job that I have. And it's not a job, it's a career. And again, you touched on it very briefly. I thought you were going to dive in a bit deeper. Was around the passion that we have for the game. And that's why we do it. And I'm so, so lucky to be sitting here.
And you do have that because you'd be a bit stuck in this role if you didn't have that, because you have had many great successes, but there've also been some challenges over the career where the amount of time that this life demands of you has meant you've had to make other sacrifices. And there have been times when things haven't gone so well, haven't gone so easily, but that overriding love of golf has, I think, got you through to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, from a nation and a worldwide perspective, COVID hurt us so badly. That was incredibly tough. When you have a membership base of about 300 professional golfers looking upon you to say, well, we're unable to earn a living. What can you do for us? How do we navigate that? And through our board and our support of our board, chaired by Mr. Rupert, we offered our professional golfers a stipend of various levels. We offered our caddies an assistance. So again, so tough times. That was definitely one in the golfing space. Obviously, couldn't play golf tournaments, couldn't do anything. Obviously, in the world, there are a lot of people that are a lot worse. But in the golfing space, we were able to navigate that. We were sitting during those times trying to play, I can't remember the game, it was PlayStation golfer, a professional golfer guy against lady golfer, and try to just create some interest in this game of golf. That was incredibly difficult. But I think one of the shining lights of what has happened in the last sort of 5 years was our partnership and our alliance with the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour, which gave our players such a phenomenal pathway. We counted last year, 34 professional golfers were playing on the DP World Tour. So through those lows of shucks, how do we create opportunities for our members to looking back last year and going, 34 of these members are playing at one of the highest stages in the game of golf. So there's definitely lows, Dan, and yeah, another time, a different place, and maybe a few Jameson ginger ales down. We can dive into that. But I go back and I say, I absolutely love what I do. I'm so lucky.
34 professionals on the DP World Tour, and that's just one tour. There's also PGA Tour, there are the other tours in America, the Asian Tour. There are South African golfers all over the world doing incredibly well. And yes, South Africans generally are genetically superior to most other nations, but it's more than just that. What for you is this magic mix that allows South Africa to keep punching above its weight so consistently around the golfing world?
Very, very simply, it's The development program through our amateur circuit, what Golf RSA done and through Grant Hepburn and his entire team to identify the talent, be able to make them compete against other international players from an amateur level and hone their ability, their skills, to go back and say, am I good enough, first of all, to play golf at a higher level? But that continual competitive nature against other people from different countries gives these guys a real opportunity to go back and say, am I good enough? And you're absolutely 100% right. Our guys are so good. I think another thing is what we do in this country, and I must applaud one of our professional golfers, Doug McGuigan, who highlighted this fact. He said to me, in South Africa, when you play, you get patted on the back for winning. You get a trophy. You get put on the shoulders. You're the champion. When you come third, fourth, and fifth, you get a smack on your bum going, do better next time. And that competitive nature is inbred in South Africans. And I think all the way through, is that what we want to do? We want to be champions. And luckily through our cricket now, rugby now, netball even to a degree, hockey, across all our platforms, we've got that drive, that willingness to be the best.
which makes it a really appealing space. And for me as a parent, I have two kids. The moment I see my nine-year-old son, Aiden, hit a 7-iron relatively straight, I'm immediately mentally picturing his green jacket being fitted as he has a slightly awkward conversation inside a lodge after 72 holes at Augusta. Yeah. What would the word of Thomas Apt, Commissioner Sunshine Tour, be to the parent in South Africa of the aspiring young golfer, given we see there are so many South Africans who've enjoyed great success?
Again, very simply, is don't push your child. We have so many professional golfers that have got disrupted families because their parents have pushed them so hard. When someone's committed to the game, that's different versus pushing them. And again, to answer your question, what do you do with a youngster? There are so many good golf tournaments across the Golf RSA platform. Enroll them through that. Let them compete against other youngsters. See if they actually have that little grit, that little bit of extra. And Gary Player always says, very soon you'll see if a player's got it. So, and he often says, I don't know what it is, but you'll see if they've got it. And that's a difference. You'll see, again, I mean, there's so many youngsters coming through that have gone through Golf RSA that are now playing on the Sunshine Tour, DP World Tour, that have got something. Have they got it? Not 100% sure. And we sure as heck hope that our guys have got it coming through right now.
Well, I'm counting on being retired in 15 years' time. So
good luck, Aiden. Go for it.
I'm going to go and find it in Dan Nicol Jr. The other opportunity, of course, that all of our golfers have, be they youngsters or amateurs like ourselves, is one of the great golfing countries. We have such an extraordinary array of golf courses. Generally, the weather is good. The exception is if it's a tournament that you are in charge of, in which case the weather will almost always be appalling. But by and large, it's something I'm not sure we celebrate quite as much as we should, that we have both quantity and quality of golf course that even Florida looks admiringly in our direction.
100%. And that's why our partnership with the DP World works so well. Our weather's fantastic. Our golf courses are really, really good. A few years ago, we had up to 8 co-sanctioned events with the DP World Tour. And that means because of the weather, because they can't play in Europe in their winter months, but also our quality of our golf courses are that good. And we continue to unpack and find new venues, new destinations for our players to hone their skills and showcase to the stage, the global stage. So we do have exactly that, and we have fantastic golf course designers: Peter Makovich, Gary Player, Dale Hayes. Ernie Els has done some fantastic golf courses as well, and that just continues to be highlighted through the venues we go to.
Now, all of these courses are ones you know well, because part of the sacrifice, Thomas, that you make for your job is playing dutifully in all of the pro-ams and often getting to golf courses ahead of time, playing them just so you have an understanding of how they work out. It also gives you a chance to spend so much time with our golfers. And I think if there is an attribute that the majority of our golfers have beyond just the ability to play exceptional golf, we just have really good people, by and large, who make up our golf tour, who are a joy to play with if you're in a pro-am, who understand the game beyond just 18 holes, and I think collectively do a great credit both to the sport and to the country.
Yeah, absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head there. We've got good guys on our tour. I think inherently every single one of them are good guys. You take them out of the golf circle and you can have a briar with them, you can have a few drinks with them, and they'll tell you war stories. None of them are that other side of the coin where you walk away and go, well, that was a terrible experience. I understand from a playing point of view, it may not have gone so particularly well for anybody, but they're good guys all the way through. And the second part of being a professional golfer is the networking opportunity they have with the type of clientele that we invite to all our programs that you spoke of. So again, golf is such a wonderful platform. You've got the professional golfer there that is exceptionally good in the game. You've got us amateurs, which are really, really average, but it gives us opportunities for us to network with each other because of that professional golfer, and no other sport allows it. You can go and watch a rugby game, but you ain't taking Sia Khaleesi on. You definitely ain't facing Dale Steyn throwing a ball down at you at 150 kilometres hour. Golf gives you the opportunity to compete right against a Jaco Prinsloo, a Sean Norris defending champion this week, and going, well, I'm actually a little better than you think I am, and compete at the highest level. So that's what golf does, and we're so lucky that we can do that. And again, your golfing ability isn't what it should be, but you get to compete against someone like a Sean Norris.
8 years ago, when we still had the show on television, I was contacted by a mate who asked if he could arrange for a young teenage golfer to come and join the studio audience, who was a hopeful golfer and was really dreaming of one day turning professional. This young kid came along. I had a microphone passed over to him during the show, and a little nervously, he did concede that he hoped to one day be a professional golfer, and he was very excited about what might lie ahead. And he seemed very nice, but I knew that the odds were pretty slim of this ever coming true, because so few golfers ever do make it to the top. This was 8 years ago. This year, he finished second in the Nedbank Golf Challenge. His name is Jaden Shaper. You now know him well. When I see him play and see him succeed, he's had a brilliant year in 2025, I get goosebumps of delight. Yeah. So I can only imagine that for you as the commissioner, when you watch somebody who a few years ago was coming through Q School, was a hopeful playing in the Winter Tour event, scrambling a top 20 on a Vodacom Origins event, and is now finishing top five in Europe, is perhaps winning an event on the Asian Tour, the sheer joy and pride that must give you and your team is immense.
Absolutely. And he went through the structures that Golf RSA put out. So all the way through the structures, I said, through Golf RSA, to see him where he is now is absolutely fantastic. I mean, he's such a confident young man, and he never really carries that confidence in his face. But deep down with his dad by his side all the time, he knows he's got something. And again,
he's got it.
He's got it. I think so. I think he was our highest performer on the DP World Tour this year, as you said, getting to the Nedbank Golf Challenge, almost winning it. I mean, what a wonderful stage and a platform for him to perform on. And again, hopefully that he can just go through and win, because he's never won on the Sunshine Tour, DP World Tour yet. So hopefully he can just go that one extra or one less shot, if I can call it that, to take the trophy home. So what a wonderful young man, and we all wish him absolutely everything of the best.
It is only a matter of time before he does win and establishes himself, not just against the South African greats, but amongst global great golfers, who, again, you get to bump into a lot of the time. Your paths cross, you're at the big events, you're encouraging them to come over to South Africa. Is there still an element of getting just a little starstruck when you walk around the corner and bump into Rory, or Scotty Scheffler sticks his head around a tree? Hey, Thomas, how you doing? Does that still give you a bit of a buzz, or is it just part of the job?
I think you'll never, ever lose that little buzz. And I flippantly say this, is that I was hanging around with Padraig Harrington at the Alfred Daniel Links Championship. And we were talking about South Africa and golf and how we're going to move forward and what's happening in our country. And he popped up a little question saying, shucks, maybe I should come play in the Investec South African Open because I want to go play in the Masters. So I said, yeah, we've also got the Open Championship qualifying. He says, I don't need that. I've got two of those already. I don't need that exemption over there. So absolutely, I think it's wonderful. And again, these guys are normal people as well. And I go back and I put you on a pedestal to a certain degree. You're just a normal guy as well. We'll see you on TV, billboards, radio stations, across every platform, but you're just a normal guy. And so are these guys. They've got a family, they've got friends. And when you're one-on-one with them, they're just simple, good people.
Well, I mean, I think I'd have to argue that slightly. I'm quite a big deal when it comes to global media. And there is an upcoming three-paragraph feature in the Edenvale News coming out. So,
Danny, was that really – actually, just speaking of St. Andrews and Alfred Daniel Links Championship, I do remember – sure, this must be 10, 15 years ago – you and your bettable partner took me and a partner on it in St. Andrews. Do you remember where the story is going? Dan and I played against each other. He had a fresh air on the first tee of St. Andrews with must be 376 people watching him. Fresh air, and I thought, well, this is going to be a walk in the park. And then Dan freaking came out of his shoes and still beat me. So that was a bit of embarrassment for myself. But Dan, yeah, absolutely. You're definitely on that pedestal.
We have some great memories that we share together, and some more to make, because we will both be down in Stellenbosch early in 2026 as the Investec South African Open, as mentioned, comes to the Winelands. And Padraig Harrington, I think, will be a number of people with a sudden interest in playing the world's second oldest Open, because that's a really cool addition to the tournament. The winner doesn't just get the trophy and a very nice prize check and some great photos beneath the mountains in Stellenbosch, but also gets to head off to Augusta, a place at the Masters. How did you pull that one off, Thomas Abt?
I'd love to say it was me, but it absolutely wasn't. I think we've been talking to Augusta National for a few years around how do we create pathways for our members. Our chairman's been really involved in the conversations too with Augusta National. they were also looking and saying, well, how do they create opportunities for other golf tours across the globe to get to Augusta? They're all about giving pathways, growing the game across all their various platforms. So it's been a conversation going on for a very long time. And I got a message on a Friday evening at about 11:30 South African time from tournament operations director from Augusta National saying, please, we need a call on Monday at 11 o'clock. So first of all, I panicked going, shucks, what could one of our guys have done wrong at Augusta? What has one of us done wrong when we've been there? Shucks, what have we done? And I said to him on the Saturday morning, shucks, Steve, can I prepare for this meeting? What should I do? He said, no, you can just sit there and listen. So I thought, oh my gosh, well, here
Gary
we go.
Gary Player's been another tequila bender in Augusta.
Absolutely. And then the phone call came on Monday, and on the call was Johnny Cole Hamilton from the RNA as well. And they just said that they've looked at the Sunshine Tour. It's grown. The RNA have offered the three top players from our National Open into the British Open, or other, as the Open is called now. And the Masters said, well, we want to do the same. And I mean, I was gobsmacked for 15 seconds. And 15 seconds keeping quiet on a phone call is a long time. And Steve said to me, are you still there?
So I'm buffering.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how it came about. And when I phoned our chairman, I said, this is happening. He was going, absolutely wonderful. Quietly, probably the back of his head, he knew exactly what was going on already. So it definitely wasn't me. It was a collaborative effort across our board and our chairman trying to say, well, how do we give our members a pathway onto the greatest stage in world golf and arguably one of the best majors?
To think that you could be a young Dylan Naidoo early in your career, you pull off the week of your life to date, and next thing you know, you are wandering down Magnolia Lane and you're playing in not just one of the great golf tournaments, one of the great sports events on the planet. It is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And I'd like to think, Thomas, that you reciprocated by telling the team at Augusta that the winner of the Masters could in turn qualify to play in Monday qualifying for the Investec South African Open.
I didn't, Dan. You're absolutely right. I didn't do that. But again, what a wonderful time to be a professional golfer. It's darn difficult to be a successful professional golfer. But if you want to get there and you're good enough and you've gone through the right structures and you believe you can make it, I mean, on the Sunshine Tour now, we're playing for over 200 million rand prize fund. The pathways there for these youngsters to go through from the Sunshine Tour onto the Hotel Planet Tour, onto the DP World Tour, and onto the PGA Tour. If you look at Tristan Lawrence, he's an absolute poster boy for us. And he's gone all the way from the bottom, from the Betway Big Easy Tour, all the way to the PGA Tour. So it's a good time if you want to be a professional golfer because the pathways are there. And in a long time ago, the structures weren't in place. And we've been able to put that in place now because of our board and because of our chairman. So we're in a good position right now, and it's a hell of a time to be a young professional golfer on the Sunshine Tour.
I threatened you at the top of the show with much nostalgia. I go back again another 20-odd years, and this was one of the Vodacom Origins of Golf events that you very kindly took me along to host for you. And at the time, I was doing some writing for Complete Golfer, and I had an interview arranged via the then media officer, Lali Stunder, who put together a conversation with a youngish golfer out of the Free State, who at that stage had been playing 1 month a year on the Sunshine Tour and the rest of the year working as a barman in Bloemfontein. And he was now in his early 20s, and he decided there were two things he could do with his life. He could either be a barman or be a golfer. And he scrambled together somehow the collateral for a bank loan for, I think, 100,000 rand for the year to try and cover everything. And when I met him at Arabella, he had finished seventh alternate in qualifying. So he hadn't even got into the tournament, let alone made the cut to try and make some prize money. And he had been staying in either his car or his tent, but his car had been stolen with his tent in it the week before. And by the time I finished the conversation, I was absolutely depressed. I moped back to my hotel room thinking, what an awful sport. It delivers stories like this. And 3 weeks later, Lali phoned me to tell me that Alex Handel had sunk a 90-foot putt in a playoff to win the Suncoast Classic, his maiden Sunshine Tour win. Then he went on to have a solid career Sunshine Tour and Asian Tour. But he, like every name we've mentioned in our conversation, is the exception to the professional golf rule, because for every guy we see in the jet landing at the major with eight great sponsors and big paychecks and the wonderful life they appear to have, there are so many who haven't made it. Mm. Just from a personal level, because you're a very empathetic person, how difficult is it to watch that element where you see the guy who's now into his mid and late 30s and early 40s, who won a tournament 15 years ago and still knows he can win a tournament in his head, but hasn't really done anything since then, and is holding out and hoping out for something that in all likelihood is never going to arrive?
Then a professional golfer will say, it just takes 1 week of my life. 1 week and I can be a superhero. It's incredibly difficult. You can see the guys working hard, working on the range, on the putting green, being the right type of person, putting his hand up to say, let me play in this pro-am, let me be this media personality for the week, let me give. And then just their performance on the golf course is not what it could be. It is quite tough. And that's why on the Sunshine Tour, we're looking at creating other opportunities outside of the circle of golf, but we're still in the industry. And I'm not talking playing golf, but what else can we give to the guys or say to the guys? Instead of playing professional golf, what about this or what about that? But it's incredibly tough. We've had so many heartbreaking stories where professional golfers come up to me, I can't pay my caddy. I can't take a caddy this week. Please, can I carry my own bag? Because on the Sunshine Tour, you have to have a caddy. He says, well, I can't pay him, so I can't carry my own bag. Chuck's, well, how do we help that guy? He says, well, I've just finished my round of golf. Can I have lunch with you or dinner with you? Because I can't afford to have dinner. And that really does get to you. And again, it is a sorry tale of woes. And that's why this game is not easy. It's a very lonely game. When you're down in the dumps, there's not many people that want to be around you. But when you're flying high, everyone's your friend. A gentleman that I know very, very well, he says, you're only singing when you're winning and everybody's around you. But when you're down in the dumps, there's not many people to lean on. But the Sunshine Tour does have a lot of good people on it. And we reach out now. We've gone with our medical officer, Vimpy Duplessis, to create opportunities. We've given, for a better word of it, a lifeline. There's a call center where professional golfers that are really struggling that can call someone and have a chat through various facets. So we are trying to look at the other side of it. It's not just razzmatazz all the way through, and we're trying to look at the other side of the coin too. And it is disheartening when you know somebody can play well and he goes and plays in the Farmers Weekly the week before and shoots 65, comes to a pre-qualifying and shoots 75. It is tough, but that's professional sport, and that's what makes the heroes exactly that. And then the other guys need to change their career. Jokingly say, a friend of mine often says, coming 14th in one of our tournaments only earns you 30,000-40,000 rand, but if you're the 14th best or the 15th best plumber, you ain't going to be a superhero either. So become the best plumber or the best professional golfer, then you will succeed. And that's what everybody's trying to do, but there can only be one winner every week.
Yeah, there's not a lot of sentiment in professional sports, and it can offer a very cold shoulder. So I'm glad to hear mental health is, I think, something we're taking a lot more seriously in sport, and I'm really glad to hear that you have that, because I suspect there are a lot of golfers who need that more than they realise, and hopefully now that you have that, they are starting to reach out and take advantage of a really necessary support network.
I hope so, and again, a lot of the guys are proud. They've obviously won something in their time. I never want to ask for help, but when you're down in the dumps, it's there, and everybody, and we have an open door policy. Our team around the Sunshine Tour is one of caring. It's quite difficult when everybody's got an opinion of where the pin should or shouldn't have been, and that person comes afterwards and says, shucks, I need help. It's quite difficult, but everybody opens their arms and says, how can we embrace the situation? So it isn't, let me not paint the picture of doom and gloom completely. A lot of guys realize that it is professional golf, and you can only have a winner every week, one that is, but there are times where you need to help out and extend a giving hand too.
We head into 2026. We've mentioned the Investec South African Open, the chance to play at the Masters. There are rumours and rumblings over who may or may not be coming out to play. I know Ernie has said that he'd love to play in it, and it'd be great to have him out there. We know how much he loves South Africa. I suspect there'll be a lot of other big names unfolding. But in terms of the rest of the year and the broader spectrum, I think the Sunshine Ladies Tour has never been stronger. The quality of amateur golf is just ridiculous. If I see another 16-year-old who can hit a 400-yard driver, I'm just going to give up and go back to to bridge and chess. The overall health, success and support of South Africa for golf, I would venture, has never been better.
Yeah, Dan, and I go back to how we started the chat, was our partnership with the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour, creating that alliance and giving our players a clear vision for their future. It is a wonderful space to be right now, and I really hope that we can continue in this vein. We've got Hotel Planet Tour events coming up in January and February, four of them. We've got two DP World Tour events, the Investec South African Open, the Joburg Open, have been partners with us for 17 years already. We move through to our Kooragar Playoff Series, onto our Tour Championship, where our winner of our Kooragar Order of Merit wins a DP World Tour card. So, and an incentive financially from the Kooragar. So there's a hell of a lot going on. We're in a good space. We've got two co-sanctioned events with the Ladies European Tour. On the Ladies Tour perspective, we've got eight other tournaments going on that side of things. So golf is in a good space right now. But again, I go back and say, why? Because golf gives the businessman an opportunity to play and see at the highest level what the businessman probably can never achieve and go, shucks, this is something cool. And they can entertain their clients as well.
We have a wonderful year to look forward to, and I'm really, really excited. I will be down at Stellenbosch, amongst many other events over the course of the year. But before I do send you on your way to do some fishing at Royal Johannesburg, I'd like you to look back on this extraordinary career of yours, the many adventures and occasional misadventure that golf has given you. What would Thomas Abt's favorite memory be from this golf career, and not necessarily the regular 61s you shoot in pro-ams, but one of those moments where you've just taken half a step back and felt an enormous sense of pride in both what you do, but also who you are in that role? And I know that's a hard one for you, because few people are as reluctant to talk about themselves as you are, but there have to have been those moments where there was a surge of pride and satisfaction in something that happened on your watch.
Absolutely. And I think, shucks, what could it be? And I go back and say, I'm going to give a bit of a long-winded answer. So it's around the people we've met. I think the vision in my head that comes to it is with our executive director, Salwa Nathan, that's really been a father figure since my dad passed away sort of almost 5 years ago. He's taken me under his wing and showed me the ropes. But I think it probably was 3 years ago, 4 years ago maybe, Salwan and I went to the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass, and we went to a PGA Tour invited dinner. And we stood around the Players' Championship trophy, Salwan and I taking a picture. And Keith Pelly, at the time the CEO of the DP World Tour, came and said, well, let's take a picture with you. So Keith Pelly stood on my right-hand side. 13 seconds later, Jay Monahan came on the other side and said to Salwan, well, let's take a picture of you, with you as well. So anyway, that's wonderful. Lee Trevino popped up next and said, hey guys, you're taking photos, let me jump in too. So that particular period of, or that photo etched in my memory with all of these phenomenal people in the game of golf is one that I'm super proud of. But again, it's not about me, it's about what we can do for our members. We've got a fantastic board. I mean, our chairman just loves the game of golf, and I think you can also agree that without him, we wouldn't be where we are. And long may that continue.
I think you sum up perfectly that it is people who drive the success of this great organization. You also answered the other question I was going to ask, which was, how on earth do you pop up in Lee Trevino's Facebook profile pic? But I now have the answer, so that one's sorted out for me. And you reference people like Nate and like Johan Rupert, who they give golf 25 hours a day of their attention here in South Africa.
And they just simply love the game. And that's why we're able to do what we do. I go back to Lee Trevino very, very quickly. He got so excited in the chat with Jay in the conversation. And I was like, wow, look at me. I'm standing speaking to Lee Trevino. And he said, we're talking about how much they were playing for at the Players' Championship. And I can't remember the exact winner's purse at that particular event. But he doesn't understand why these guys have got so much pressure in their lives when they're playing golf. There's not pressure. He said, when he was playing golf, he was playing for $50. And he only had 20 in his pocket. That's real pressure, he says. That's real pressure. It's not even their own money they're playing for. So, again, these little memories and these stories that come up, and we've got Mr. Player, Gary Player, telling us so many of those stories as well. And very lucky to be able to call some of these people my friends as well. So I'm very lucky to be able to be in this position. But it's really about what we can do for our membership base, and that's what drives us every day.
Well, they are very lucky to call you their friend, as am I, and I am most grateful. And I know you will be steadfast in your denial of any great responsibility. But thank you, Thomas, because you did give me a wonderful opportunity many, many years ago, and we've had many, many adventures since then, and many more to come. I look forward to sharing those with you, to one day beating you on the golf course. It's very unlikely, but I live in hope. But also to watching this incredible Sunshine Tour play out. The two spaces that I spend most of my time in are sport and wine, and I will regularly tell audiences at events I do around the world that South Africa every single day is seeing an athlete perform and is seeing a great bottle of wine opened from South Africa, and both of those do us proud. And I think of all of our sport, it's golf that delivers most consistently. So thank you to you and your team for everything you continue to do. Good luck with this season. Good luck with the run-up to the Investec South African Open, and a lot of excitement there. And good luck to the winner of the 2026 Masters on getting their entry into the Investec South African Open 27.
Then you're incredibly kind. I think you underplay who you are in this entire game of things. You promote this sport. You speak so passionately and so proudly of the game too. So next time you sink that 3-foot putt, pick the ball up and go, I actually contribute effectively to this game. So thank you for what you do as well.
It's a great pleasure. Make a 2-foot putt just a little certain. Thomas Apt, thank you, my guest this week. He's a great, great friend, but also a great champion of and servant to the game of golf in South Africa. And it is people like Thomas and his crew at the Sunshine Tour who give us this extraordinary platform that every week allows South African golfers to continue to shine and to do us proud. If you're going to be in the Cape in February, then look out for the Investec South African Open. Tickets are available. It's going to be 4 great days of golf with a winner heading off to Augusta with dreams of a green jacket. I have dreams of a great tournament. I shall be there. Hope to see you too. Until next week, this is the Dan Nicholls Show with my very special guest, Sunshine Tour Commissioner and world-class amateur golfer, Thomas Apt.
You're listening to The Dan Nicholls Show.